But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with the fraudulent and wasteful ways Elon Musk makes money. Move on to what's up with RFK Jr.'s fascination with autism, and follow all of that up with an update to our ongoing docuseries, Living in the Handmaid's Tale. Let's begin, shall we? Did you know that since April 5th, approximately 3 to 5 million Americans have been taking to the streets with clever signs and a common goal: to tell the Trump regime and Apartheid Clyde to fuck right off for ruining our country in less than 100 days. See, it turns out that Americans don't like paying even higher prices for basic necessities than they were paying under the previous administration. Not to mention, it's kind of hard to pay for anything when some douche with an H-1B visa fires you and hundreds of thousands of your colleagues so a bunch of rich dickwads can get a tax break.
Son of a bitch.
Which leads me to the dark maggot who's been leading the charge to rifle through our entire U.S. government, get rid of or cripple as many departments that affect his businesses as he can before May 30th, because apparently that's when the special government twat's job ends. And while the good news is that this made-up position in the U.S. government has an expiration date, the departure of the cybercuck couldn't come fast enough, especially for whatever investors in Tesla are still left. We're talking about a global consensus that Elmo Schmuck needs to be defunded out of political influence, and the EV company he bought his way into claiming he founded should be defunded out of existence. And the best response this broligarch can come up with on an investor call is, "They are paid protesters who are receiving fraudulent payments from Social Security."
Now, the protests that you'll see out there, they're very organized, they're paid for. They're obviously not going to admit that the reason that they're protesting is because they're receiving fraudulent money. They're going to come up with some other reason. But that is the real reason for the protests. The actual reason is that those receiving the waste and fraud wish to continue receiving it. That is the real thing that's going on here, obviously.
Obviously. The global disdain for Tesla has nothing to do with things like phony Stark using douche to gather login details that magically end up in the hands of Russian hackers using Starlink. While at the same time, hosting hackathons at the IRS, Social Security, and a plethora of other government departments, because now that half the staff is gone, who's going to stop him? Well, it turns out, EV customers and investors who know that there are better options out there.
I mean, Tesla was expected to earn 41 cents per share. They came in at 27 cents per share. They went from $1.4 billion in the first quarter of last year to $0.4 billion this quarter. And even that was less than it appears. Tesla not only had that 71% drop in profit off of what they did last year, the profit they did have is not from selling cars. Quote, "Tesla would have actually lost hundreds of millions of dollars this quarter had it not earned $400 million in interest on cash and investments, and had it not earned $595 million from selling credits to other car makers, which themselves failed to meet emissions regulations." So yeah, it looks like they made $0.4 billion. It looks like they made $400 million, but they would have been $600 million in the negative for this quarter. They would have lost $600 million this quarter if they hadn't had cash and investments, interest payments, and credits that were paid to them from other car companies because of anti-climate change government programs. That's what filled up their balance sheet.
Uh-oh, Tesla, you're in trouble, girl. I guess having a waste of $8 million a day in taxpayer money committing fraud all over the federal government really isn't a good look for your company, especially when one of your only sources of income is carbon credit rebates, and Canada is convinced you're committing fraud with them. No joke, folks. The Canadian Transportation Minister has halted payouts pending the outcome of an investigation for more than $43 million worth of rebates after Tesla magically sold 8,653 cars in 3 days back in January. A more than sus move considering these Tesla sales represented 20 times more than its normal sales volume and at a time when consumers weren't really buying their cars en masse. So explain how $43 million worth of cars no one wants happened to be sold in 72 hours so the rebates could be cashed in on time. Well, according to Elrond Mustard himself, this was all just a misunderstanding, and the $43 million Tesla was suddenly demanding was actually backlog filings. Not that they sold over 8,000 cars in 3 days, because that would be silly and fraudulent. Oh, and while we're on the subject of people who don't belong in their current positions, historically speaking, there have been some stupid military leaders, but none of them compare to the DUI hire we've got running the Pentagon right now. And not just because Pete Kegseth slept his way through the ranks at Fox Not a News Channel, with his former and current wives both being his boss at the time that the affair started, nor is his love for being completely drunk, like all the fucking time, the reason why he's grossly unqualified for the job he currently holds, although it's definitely a contributing factor. It's because WikiLeaks refuses to stop using Signal chats to discuss top secret government shit with people who really shouldn't know a fucking thing about it.
Secretary Hegseth did have a second Signal chat that included his brother, his wife, and his lawyer, in which he disclosed sensitive details about U.S. military operations against the Houthis in Yemen. This was around the same time as that first Signal chat that was disclosed last month. It was on his personal phone, and we are told that this was a group chat that was set up as part of his confirmation process so he could kind of strategize with his closest allies. But he continued using that chat, we are told, after he was confirmed as Secretary of Defense.
Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth responding.
You know, what a big surprise that a few leakers get fired and suddenly a bunch of hit pieces come out from the same media that peddled the Russia hoax. See, this is what the media does. They take anonymous sources from disgruntled former employees, and then they try to slash and burn people and ruin their reputations. Not going to work with me. And anonymous smears from disgruntled former employees on old news doesn't matter. This group right here, full of hoaxers that peddle anonymous sources from leakers with axes to grind, and then you put it all together as if it's some news story.
No, sir. That's the alcohol talking. See, what Pickle Pete is describing is what his former colleagues over at Faux News do whenever a president wears a tan suit out in public or asks for Grey Poupon on his sandwiches. However, using a Signal chat on Hennessy Hegseth's personal phone to tell his wife, his brother, and his lawyer or whoever else about military war plans is definitely newsworthy. Especially when we recently learned Prosecco Pete downloaded Signal to his work computer so he could still chat about classified military plans with his closest friends and family during business hours, or whenever Jin Diesel couldn't use his personal phone because he was in a skiff. And for those of you in the back, this was sus AF when we saw Mrs. Tipsy Pete attending a meeting with her husband and the UK Defense Secretary, because this bish does not have a security clearance that we know of, which is concerning because this former Faux News producer turned wife of the walking, talking bottle of Jack Daniels is still chummy with her previous employer. Not to mention that we all just spent thousands of dollars for this asshole to have a full-on makeup room so he can prepare for his news interviews with a bottle of bourbon in one hand and some Maybelline bronzer in another, just like he did back when he was only working weekends. And while we're on the subject of unhealthy habits, the Republicans in the Senate confirmed snake oil salesman Emmett Oz to oversee the destruction of Medicare and Medicaid back in the beginning of April. And since then, this guy has dyed his hair trash panda yellow, started wearing dollar store shades of bronzer, and made stupid comments like this one in public.
First, we're going to reduce chronic disease. 70% of the healthcare expenditures of this country are driven by chronic disease. And it is your patriotic duty, I'll say it again, the patriotic duty of all Americans to take care of themselves, because it's important for serving in the military, but it's also important because healthy people don't consume healthcare resources. The best way to reduce drug spending is to use less drugs because you don't need them because you're healthy.
Wow. Did this talk show host come up with that all by himself, or... perhaps Pennsylvania School of Medicine should demand that this guy's doctorate be returned, because that really was some D-average student logic that makes any practicing keratotic surgeon shake their head in shame for even being in the same field as this guy.
What a maroon. What an ignoramus.
And that's because healthy people... they get sick and suddenly die of a stroke or a heart attack just like the rest of us, and regardless of other people's waistlines. Because healthy people develop diseases based on genetic propensities, just like everyone else and people shopping in the plus size section. This is something all doctors should know, unless they were such a terrible student that they could only get work as a consultant on a daytime talk show hosted by Oprah Winfrey, which presents its own problems. But moving on, this Let's Make America Healthy Again crusade the bleached and bronze charlatan called Oz is peddling pairs perfectly with the recent eugenic-style declarations of the brainworm running the Department of Health and Human Services.
Autism destroys families. More importantly, it destroys our greatest resource, which are our children. And these are kids who will never pay taxes, they'll never hold a job, they'll never play baseball, they'll never write a poem, they'll never go out on a date. Many of them will never use a toilet unassisted. We know it's an environmental exposure. It has to be. Genes do not cause epidemics. They can provide a vulnerability. You need an environmental toxin. The autism, this epidemic is only happening in our children. It's not happening in people our age. And if it was better recognition, you'd see it in 70-year-old men. I've never seen a person with full-blown autism. I've seen many people with Asperger's and, you know, on the spectrum who are my age. I've never seen anybody with full-blown autism. That means nonverbal, non-toilet trained, et cetera. You don't see these people walking around a mall because they don't exist in our age.
Wow. It's impressive that a man who declared himself disabled in court filings in order to get out of paying child support has such vitriol for the autistic community, but here we are. And to make matters worse, the most embarrassing Kennedy, who sounds like he's fighting for every last breath when he speaks, has a problem with the autism. And he's going to fix it by creating a Nazi-style registry for every American who has it.
National Institute of Health is collecting private medical records. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says the data is vital for his new push to study autism.
RFK says he wants a national autism registry
to study and track all Americans with autism. There's no choice to opt in or out of that list.
Everything from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services to data from private pharmacy chains all the way down to smartwatch data that they're going to try to link together in an attempt to unlock what they think is causing autism.
Autism is a priority. We've gone from 1 in 10,000 now to 1 in 31, 1 in every 20 boys. This is 1,000 times more impactful to our country from an economic point of view. Autism alone, just one of these chronic diseases, will cost our country $1 trillion a year. We have to end that.
Okay, so the Trump regime now needs to know who every autistic person is in the United States for what? Because all I hear is the guy who's controlled by a worm in his brain unironically thinks autistic Americans are such a burden to the U.S. economy that we need to know where they are and at all times. And just for shits and giggles, that's the theory behind eugenics, an early 1900-and-something concept white people came up with to control population growth. Not that these pasty colonizers didn't want the population to expand. It's just that they wanted more white babies born than any other color. And don't forget, these babies had to be viable. So these jackasses decided the best way to make sure that happens is to sterilize and incarcerate other colored people. In the United States, this blatantly racist and ableist practice was used to sterilize about 60,000 people by World War II and continued until 2015, adding tens of thousands more to the coerced sterilization practices. That's because incarcerated women in places like California were talked into tubal ligations against their will, and in states like Mississippi, where forced hysterectomies of African Americans were affectionately referred to as appendectomies by the medical students learning how to do them in teaching hospitals. But when it comes to autism, this whole eugenics revival is absolutely dangerous, because it's not fluoride or vaccines that causes the recent rise in autism diagnoses. It's because of changes in how autism is diagnosed and studied. For example, and like most things in the medical profession, women and girls were not included in autism studies until the mid-2000s, because researchers were only interested in how autism affects boys. And let's not forget, autism has nothing to do with the environment or whatever else the brainworm thinks is causing this, thanks to studies that show how autism is 70 to 90% caused by genetics. But if we're being honest, the eugenics-fueled focus on autism has everything to do with the future U.S. proletariat population and the recent plunge in birth rates more than anything else.
Premise here, which does come from a reality of a drop in the birth rate.
Absolutely.
Which how dramatic is that?
I mean, it's pretty gosh darn dramatic. I mean, compare the peak after World War II back in 1957, where the average woman is having over three babies, right? And then it dropped down already 1990 to just 2.1. And now we're at 1.6 as recently as 2023. That is below the rate folks want. You want it to be at least two in order to replenish the population. Pew Research polled folks who are not having kids and asked, why aren't you having kids? The number one reason is they just don't want to, Aaron. That's the number one reason, 57%. Okay. The focus is elsewhere, 44%. The world's a mess, concerned about the world, 38%. Interesting, look at what's at the bottom of that list, at 36% is can't afford. So in fact, when it comes to affordability, that's actually low on the list.
Well, I can't say I blame anyone living in the United States right now for not wanting to have kids for any of those reasons, really. Especially when egg prices are up by 53%, housing costs have risen to ludicrous levels, and daycare for two small children is more than $4,000 a month. I mean, come on, really, who can afford to have children unless you're the world's richest billionaire? Who can afford to have however many rounds of IVF treatments just to get 14 children born because you allegedly have a penis enlarging mishap that happened several years back? Not the average American, I'm sure. A point that was not lost on the Trump regime, who came up with an idea they stole from Nazi Germany to get more white babies cooking.
President Trump thinks he has a way to address declining birth rates in the United States.
The White House is now assessing ways to convince American women to have more children
to get birth rates up.
It means that Americans aren't having enough babies to replace the population, and that potentially poses serious concerns socially and certainly economic challenges.
The ideas include a, quote, National Medal of Motherhood for having six or more kids, and a $5,000 cash baby bonus.
A third idea is to fund programs that educate women on when they are ovulating and able to conceive.
Reserving 30% of Fulbright scholarships for married students or those who have children. Government-funded studies on women's menstrual cycles to help them figure out when they're able to conceive.
And here we all thought the motivation of the Republican Party was to just get rid of big government oversight. And it turns out, they really wanted to find new and terrifying ways to control women's bodies, like taking data from period tracking apps, medical records, and perhaps social media posts, just to make sure every able-bodied woman living in Gilead is able to perform her civic duty. And by civic duty, I mean replenishing the U.S. shrinking worker class. or as the smallest Johnson to ever be Speaker of the House once said about the devastating effects of abortion on the U.S. economy back when he was just a congressional brat.
Roe v. Wade gave constitutional cover to the elective killing of unborn children in America, period. You think about the implications of that on the economy. We're all struggling here to cover the bases of Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid and all the rest. If we had all those able-bodied workers in the economy, we wouldn't be going upside down and toppling over like this. Listen,
the gentleman,
I will not yield. I will not. Roe was a terrible corruption of America's constitutional jurisprudence.
All this woman choosing when and where or if to ever have a child is really making this little guy upset. And to think, all of the overworked and underpaid Americans that would be slaving away in their miserable lives today if it weren't for that women's right to choose. Such a shame, really. And apparently the reason why the alleged Pope Killer Vance and Cheddar Cheese Dictator are trying to entice women to have more children, or children at all, in the most cringy way possible.
But you know, they say they want to have fathers who are the main breadwinners with single income that can support a family. They want mothers at home taking care of children. And they want people to conform to gender roles. They want boys and girls. They don't want, anybody who identifies as LGBT. And they want everything to be based in a kind of biblical vision.
Our society has failed to recognize the obligation that one generation has to another. I want more babies in the United States of America.
We want to produce babies in this country, right? We want to produce babies.
If you don't have as much of an investment in the future of this country, maybe you shouldn't get nearly the same voice. Let's face the consequences and the reality. Let's give votes to all children in this country, but let's give control over those votes to the parents of those children.
You know, it never ceases to amaze me how these incels have convinced themselves that they are worth procreating with. And for that, I blame pick-me's who married or are dating them on the side, perpetuating this delusion that the rest of us have been fighting against our entire lives. Because women are more than the sum of their reproductive organs. And just because a woman, or we, control population growth does not mean that we want to contribute to the downfall of humanity in order to make sure that there are more workers born. And if these masturbators had any of the mediocre brain power they say they do, they would have come up with better ways to convince women to have more children. Simple concepts even a basic bitch in mascara could figure out, like universal healthcare, because the cost of bringing another person into the U.S. is upwards of $26,000. And that's just the delivery, which poses a threat to the woman's life, because in America, 32 out of every 100,000 women die in childbirth or after because of complications. I myself almost died during the birth of my first child because of medical negligence on the part of the OBGYN. But then with my second child, I almost died again because of a medical emergency due to the hospital staff just 1 week after my child was born. And what happened to me is not abnormal. So what's $5,000 or a medal gonna do for me and my child when the same regime is cutting USDA testing on infant formula or anything else that we consume? Oh, and by the way, the mustache man from Nazi Germany did the same thing. He gave out medals to women who gave birth to six or more children, offered financial incentives to get more babies born, and tracked women's menstrual cycles to make sure that every egg was fertilized. So you can keep your gold spray-painted medals and taxpayer money you're so eager to hand out, because none of it makes women want to give up their lives so that the rich can have a steady stream of new workers to exploit, especially when states like Indiana are debating whether or not to include consent in their state's sex ed curriculum.
I have two concerns. The first one is eliminating consent. I don't understand how we could possibly not agree to consent, to teach that as part of human sexuality. For the consent, it protects both boy and girl, man and woman. We are talking about teenagers that sometimes don't learn that they can say no. And so I need an explanation why you would take it out.
This is a decision that I made to not have it in there. I believe it may be different thoughts in different communities, and this is what the bill does. It leaves, for the most part, local control on making those decisions.
Can you identify those localities where it's a problem to talk about consent? Because I'd like to know.
No,
and I think the people who live there would like to know whether, well, you know, the issue of consent is somehow debated among men and women in that district.
Yeah, well, I will say, I will leave it, me personally, I want to see it left up to local control on that issue. I
mean, so there must be places where they don't want to talk about consent when you're dealing with young women and their rights. Where are those places in my state?
And leave it to a white male Republican to remove teaching teenagers about sexual consent when in sex ed class. Because who has the time to stop and ask for permission when you've got millions of people to make up for? If we're ever going to have a workforce big enough to satisfy rich schmucks in this country. Because in their vision of this country, it clearly does not matter if the kid was conceived out of love or a drunken asshole's entitlement in a dark alley, as long as the woman is forced to give birth, even at the expense of her own life. And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. You can follow me, Suzanne Posel, or the show This Week Again on social media platforms like Blue Sky, Threads, Insta, Facebook, and we are always available for your listening pleasure on places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon, wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Tadir for now.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
These are difficult times, and if you believe in justice, progress, and democracy, the news you read and listen to can be pretty depressing. And that's why there's a new podcast called Good News for Lefties and America. Every day it features positive news stories for progressive listeners, because no matter how disturbing the headlines might be, there's always hope we can build on for a better tomorrow. Good News for Lefties and America. Listen on this platform at goodnewsforlefties.com or wherever podcasts are heard.